Hey there, everyone. Sober Steve, the podcast guy, here with 1002 Days Sober. And then today, I am thankful to be able to present you this amazing bonus episode. As you might have heard an episode or two ago, I recently had the opportunity at my church, Harvest, to be able to be a part of their Storyteller Sunday, where I was invited up to tell a part of my story as it relates to church in front of my congregation, and they were able to give me a copy of it because a lot of it relates to my sobriety as well. I thought that it would be a great chance to share it with my audience. So if you are watching it on video on YouTube, this will be exciting because you get to see the actual performance. If you are listening on podcasting platforms, that is great too. However, the audio quality might be somewhat different than what you are used to hearing, but that's because this is audio from the actual church service. So if it sounds a little off, bear with us because it is great content from what I have heard back from the feedback on how my congregation loved it. I hope you, my listeners, love it as well. At the end of the episode, there won't be my little outro. I trust that you already all follow me so that you can get these new episodes whenever they come out every Thursday normally. And if this is a bonus on a Sunday for you, happy weekend. And I look forward to seeing you Thursday for our next regularly scheduled episode. Until then, stay sober, friends.
All right. Steve is one half of the Steves.
Yes.
So it's pretty easy. You just got to remember one name for that couple, and then you're good. It's the Steves. And let me check that mic, because I don't... Are we good on that? All right, good. You might have to talk a little louder than me.
Okay.
There you go. Perfect. So, Steve, tell us... We're going to kind of... We'll make the first little bit, just a minute or two, of kind of where you were born and what that looked like, what your family was like. Can you kind of give us an idea of that?
Sure, yeah. I was born in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I was only there for like about 24 hours before I was airlifted back to Long Island where I grew up because I'm adopted. So my parents got the call when my birth mother went into labor, saying like, come and get him. So within like a week, I was on Long Island, and that's where I grew up. So that's where I'm from. I was just born in Erie, Pennsylvania, but I've never really been back there.
Oh, wow. So you were adopted and went to Long Island?
Yeah. And then it was my parents. I lived around the corner from my grandmother. So, like, growing up, I wasn't, like, a mom's boy or, like, a dad's kid. I was always Granny's little boy where I'd, like, run across the street to her house whenever anything got rough. And then I had my younger brother who was 2.5 years younger than me.
So kind of describe what it was like growing up. What was your childhood like?
It was interesting. It definitely didn't make sense to me, a lot of the things around me. Like, both, like, we grew up, I say, like, Roman Catholic-ish because it was, like, Christmas and Easter, but that was basically it. But it was also, but like my grandmother was like religious and was like did outreach with the church and everything like that. So I was always like very like familiar with like how active and involved she was. And then like my parents were like, no, but we're special because we're the only ones busy on Sunday and we can't go to church every week. So, but it was also like that, like with other things where like I was told like very young, like children are to be seen and not heard. That was like the impression that I got was always to like quiet it down, whether it's that I was like being loud or whether it was the things that I was saying were considered like inappropriate or that I was questioning adults on things that I shouldn't be questioning people for. So, you know, I know sometimes it was because I was like screaming in the grocery store like a little brat, but like what I internalized after hearing like quiet down for so long was that like what I had to say wasn't worth saying and that like no one wanted to hear from me. So I just, this began escaping. Like my first escape was books. I would like read 4 or 5 or 6 books a week. And like, if I ran out of my books, I needed to get to the library. Like I needed my fix. And then it was video games, you know, as I got older, but it was always just about escaping because the world around me like didn't really make sense.
So how did that kind of manifest in your life as you became an adult and got into those years?
Well, then I found alcohol, and that's the perfect way to escape, because when I was playing video games and when I was reading books, the issue is as soon as you put the page down or the book down, you're back in the real world. But like when I discovered alcohol, like my senior year, my after prom, after like being bullied and harassed and othered for 4 years straight by my peers and the Catholic school that I was in, like all of a sudden I was like drunk Steve where everyone was laughing at him and I felt like I was included and part of the group. And like, I was like, this is the solution because this will change the world around me to make it more tolerable. And spoiler alert, that didn't really work out too well as the years went on. But it definitely started from there where I was like, I grew up knowing from my dad who would come home from work like yelling and screaming and being horrible towards my mother and brother and I to like he'd have us 2 or 3 beers and then all of a sudden would be nice and calm and nicer and like apologize, that like I learned that as an adult for me too, that alcohol could be the solution to like a bad day or a bad situation.
Yeah, so we're going to come back to that. Yeah. But I want, because I think you have a, you know, Steve podcasts, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, and does some podcasting around being sober and what that looks like. And but we'll get to that. But I want you to articulate for me, there are some people in the room who have not experienced, me included for at least most of my life, the idea of being othered. Mm-hmm. And what the effect that has on you. So try to, if somebody in this room has never really felt, at least for more than maybe a day or two, like the feelings of what it's like to be othered, explain to us what that feels like.
I would say, like, the way that I word it is, like, I always felt like I missed the day of school where they taught you how to be a normal person, like, where they taught you, like, how you were supposed to not be recognized, because I was told that I was gay, like, long before I even became, like, a sexual person who understood what that meant. Like, my family would make jokes about it. Like, my neighbors would make jokes about it. Like, I was being told as a young kid that I was gay before sexuality was a thing, and I was like, but then as I realized I was like, how did they know? Like, how did they find out? So, like, feeling othered and, like, the way that I and a lot of people that I've like talked with experiences, like, we try and become like perfectionists. Like, if we are perfect in every single other way, if I'm like the straight A student or like part of a team or part of this or part of this other thing, like, if I am absolutely perfect in another way, maybe they won't notice that I'm othered in this one way. That, like, and they always still did, and it never really helped. But I remember just always trying to, like, be perfect in everything.
What kind of effect does it have on you? What does it do to your emotional state?
I definitely didn't have any value, like, about, like, myself, my self-worth. Like, I've definitely felt like because I was different that meant that I was worse or that I was less than. And so I went through life, like, trying to make up for the fact of, like, trying to make up for who I was. Like, because I was, like, naturally showing up with a negative score compared to others because I was letting them determine what my value was as someone who was less than or othered. That I would, like, show up to things intrinsically trying to, like, be a good boy for you because, like, I didn't want to, like, get in trouble for being who I am.
And how did that play out in your faith journey? Where was your faith journey at this point as a young adult?
As a young adult, I pretty much put it behind. I went to Catholic school, and it was, like, I was almost transitioned from public school to Catholic school as a punishment. So right away, it's, like, religion is punishment. And then getting the messages from religion of, like, you can show up to church every Sunday and you can be a Eucharistic minister, like, with your grandmother, and, like, you can do all this stuff, but, like, as long as you still end up being who you are, like, it's not going to work out for us. That, like, I had put it aside in college and, like, in my 20s and into my early 30s, really through my adulthood and into, like, my drinking. It was only really when I started my sobriety journey that I had to, like, get used to the idea of a higher power again and open myself up to that. I was pretty much didn't believe in any of that, and it was, like, very much like I'm an atheist, and, like, this is how it always will be. Like, it was always a bunch of, like, always, I'll always feel this way, I'll never do that.
So how long did you medicate with alcohol?
I would say from 18 on and off through 35, or, I mean, my sober day is May 28th of 2021, so I'm 3 years sober in May of this year. In the rooms, I say I'm a COVID baby because I got sober during the pandemic, because that's kind of when it put a, like, I think for a lot of us, even without alcohol issues, like, it was COVID, the pandemic was like a magnifying glass for what was going on in our lives, like, whether it was what was working right or what was working wrong. And so for me, the experience was that was not working right for me anymore.
So how did you get sober?
I used AA, like, I used the 12-step program, but almost right away, I also knew that I wanted to make a podcast about it. My husband and I had been doing a pop culture podcast for a couple years, and, like, I love the art form. I remember going to, like, my first podcasting convention when I was learning about it, and even before I was sober, I was like, that was the first time I was like, I've arrived, I found my people, because for the first time in my life, I was having people tell me, like, my voice mattered, that I needed to get loud with what I have to say, rather than, like, being told to quiet it down and, like, tone it down, that, like, being told to amplify it. And then when I found, but I was always like, but I don't want to, like, talk about movies that I like forever with my voice. Like, I knew that I had more, but I didn't know what it was. And so sobriety for me, I was like, this is it. Because as a podcast listener, when I got sober, I was like, I need to find, like, all the podcasts and listen to them all. And there was only one that was for, like, the queer community that I could find. And it was very, like, it wasn't what I wanted from a podcast. So I made my own. And what that did for me, though, was I got to interview people throughout different routes of sobriety in the queer community every single week. And I've been doing that since I started. So in addition to meetings, which, you know, can be very traditional. Like, I had to open myself up to a lot of that, and it's been great, and I love that. I mean, I definitely interview enough people who are like, not for me. I'm like, you need to try it at least. But in addition to that, having that to expand my circle and expand my network to see other viewpoints on a much broader spectrum, it was cool, because during COVID, like, you couldn't even go to a lot of in-person meetings, so it was mostly virtual, and so I got to build this virtual community that was really cool.
It's amazing. So now you're transitioned both to doing the podcast, but you're also doing some coaching, right?
Correct, yeah.
So what does that look like for you?
Well, I got to a point last summer where, even though I was sober, I was like, what I was, they say it's like a dry drunk. Like, I was feeling very stressed. I was almost to the point where I was like, why am I even sober if this is the life that I'm living? And I realized that when I was up in New York City, I had the opportunity to interview Marc Jacobs about his sobriety on stage. And I was like miserable the entire experience. I was like, this is too much pressure. I didn't even ask him to be on my podcast because I was like, well, he'll say no or he'll be on. Like, I gave myself all those reasons. And I had like so many limiting beliefs that I found myself almost like back to when I was in my addiction of saying like, well, I'll never be able to do that, or things will always be like this. And working with a life coach and like doing the life coaching, it kind of helped me get from being like sober but stuck to unstuck. And so as I've become a coach myself, I'm able to help people who are sober but stuck get unstuck, because there's so many amazing resources out there that help people get sober and help them through that beginning stage of their journey. But like once they're healed, that support afterwards can be very hard to come by. And so having someone who can like hold you accountable on like a weekly basis, or be a text away in a crisis that can kind of call you on your bull stuff, like it's really been helpful, like seeing that I can pay it forward, that someone helped me get unstuck and find this like whole new life that I love, and then I can then pay it forward by helping other people do the same.
Amazing. That's worthy of. So what makes you tick now? Like, what gets you up in the morning?
What gets me up in the morning is doing the podcast as well as the coaching, those two things as well as just this new community that I found. Part of my coaching and like practicing what I preach is that my community, like on my little wheel of how happy I was, like my community was low in terms of where I would rate it until about 4 months ago. And so I was like, I have like this great online virtual community, which is beautiful. And like, I text them every day and I have this like great connection with them, but I didn't really have people in my backyard. You know, before COVID, it was my addiction that kind of segregated us, or like kept us apart. And then in COVID, I was using my online community, and the fact that like the world can be scary out there is like a reason to stay in. But, you know, I left my job, and then all of a sudden I'm free on Sunday. So I was like, I'll go to church. And I was like, what's a close one that's cool? And Steven's like, Harvest doesn't seem that bad. And so I checked it out, and I was like, it's more than not bad. It's pretty cool. So he came back next week. But like, the thing was, like, 6 months ago I would have said, even sober, like, I'll never be a church person. I'm not that type of person. But I opened myself up to experiencing my first time here listening to you. Like, I had, from my 12-step program, my conception of my higher power, and I was very convinced that that was different than I know it's very different than the Catholic God that I was raised with, but like listening to you talk about God and Jesus and like everything didn't conflict with like a single thing that I've written out is like what my higher power is, being like loving and kind and caring and understanding and compassionate. So it was the first time really I've been in a religious community setting where I heard things that like resonated with what I believed rather than contradicted it. So I was like, well, we're home.
So didn't one of you come first? I don't remember.
I came first.
Check it out.
Yeah, I came. Well, like I said, I learned with certain things, like if I want us to do it, oftentimes I need to like do it first and then he'll learn by example. So this is one of those where like, but like, because both of us have our own religious trauma, I'm sure eventually he'll be up on stage here telling his. But
we have him slated for 2032, but it's fine. He could have been there.
Yeah, but I mean, he was very, like, I had my step work to get me to the point where I was open to the idea of religion. Like, he didn't have that experience, and so he was still dealing with that hurt. So very much, I think, when he stepped in, he was doing it almost to kind of humor me or to be with me, to support me on this. And then, like, he heard something that was also awesome and healing and through that experience as well. So, yeah, I started first, and then I recruited him. But now he's the one who's like, we can't do disco brunch because we might miss church. And I'm like, I'm sure Pastor Dan will be okay if we miss like one Sunday a month. He's like, I don't know, I'll have to stream it.
The dilemma, disco brunch or church. I love it. So what kind of advice would you give for people in the room that maybe they're not struggling with specifically sobriety, but they're just stuck in their life? What's the best general advice you give to people? Where do you start with people that are stuck?
Just redefine, like, look back and reflect on, like, what makes you happy, because we've all had one point in our lives where we can say, like, that was my best time ever, but, like, not just look at the circumstances that you can't change or you can't go back in time, but also, like, what were you doing then to make you happy? Like, were you working out? Then maybe you should get your butt off the couch. Like, were you going to church? Then you need to be going to church. Were you involved in a team or an organization or a nonprofit that meant a lot to you? Then get involved with them again, but, like, do the things that you know have made you happy in the past, and also try new things, because you'll also be surprised what will happen when you stop saying things like, I always do this or I never do that, and open yourself up to the possibility that maybe you don't know everything. Maybe you're not God. Like, maybe trying something new will be like, wow, that was actually not that bad. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, will you guys give him a hand? Isn't that amazing?